إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار إن شاء الله This is a continuation for our regular classes of Tuesday classes concerning explanation and authentication for the book Bulugh al-Maram by al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, the book Attainment of the Objectives. And today this is the 10th class for the album number 6. And inshallah we anticipate 2 classes more and finish the book inshallah. And for those who have the book with them inshallah, we are in page number 525 and we are in hadith number 1290. And before that I start, one of the students had mentioned that I had missed a hadith in page 519, hadith number 1268. I apologize for this. I overlooked the hadith. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي فقال كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. وكان ابن عمر رضي الله عنه يقول إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء وخذ من صحتك لسقمك ومن حياتك لموتك. أخرجه البخاري. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. If the brothers can get closer to me a little bit, inshallah. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh. So the hadith is authentic. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar, saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold by his shoulder and he said to him, be in this life as a stranger or a welfare. And I don't want to go too much details in this hadith due to the fact I have already have about 1 hour explanation about in this tape called The Stranger. But basically we notice in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took by the shoulder of Ibn Umar, and this is one way to show how a teacher can get attention of his student. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him, be in this dunya, be in this life like a stranger or like a person who is stopping by, okay, he's not living in it. And in actuality this is one of the main solution of all our problems, all our problems. If we can live this life, we be in a much better condition than what we in today. Be in this life as a stranger. The more that you get familiar with this life, the more that you be content with this life, the more that you get relaxed with this material thing, the more that is taking you away from Allah, and the more that God demands in you. Okay? And now you be like a prisoner to this dunya. Now you need more material thing, and more for you to get more material thing, you demand more work in you. And the more work is that you put in yourself, you understand, it taken away from taking care of your family. Because our responsibility towards our families is not only a matter of financial, and this is it, okay? But the discipline and the way how to raise them as a Muslim is very important. Or abir sabil, like a person who's passing by, not a person who living in this dunya. Ibn Umar, he understood this advice, and he used to teach and preach and say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. If the morning come to you, don't hope that the evening will come to you. And if the evening come to you, don't have too much faith that the morning will come to you. That means always remember death, and always prepare for death. Have the good deed and be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِسَقَمِكَ. A person have to take advantage of being healthy to the time when you get sick, and from your life to your death. Take advantage of this, because excuse me
Ibrahim, get apart, come on.
He said that you take advantage of this, take advantage of being healthy, because when you're healthy you can go to the masjid, you can make Qiyam prayer, you can do all these things. But when you get sick, now will slow you down. So you need to multiply your good deed and do more when you are healthy, because when you get sick you are not going to be able to do the same. Same way Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu say, and وَخُذْ مِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. While you are still alive, do a lot of good deed, because when you die there is no more deed coming to you, okay? You could not make salah, you could not give charity, you could not do anything like this. And inshallah, this is a good advice, and we'll continue with our regular classes by going back to page number 525. Hadith 1290. وعن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه قال يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. أخرجه مسلم. This hadith reported by Abu Zar, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And this hadith is hadith Qudsi, is from Allah Almighty. Okay? So the words and the meaning coming from Allah. Is not a hadith, a profitable hadith, hadith Nabawi. It is a hadith Qudsi, what do you call it, some a holy hadith or Qudsi hadith. That Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. Inni harramtu zulma ala nafsi. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَّالَمُوا. O my slaves, indeed I had forbid injustice on myself, so don't oppress one another. O my servant, indeed I made injustice, forbidding from my own self, and I forbid it for you. Don't oppress one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty, He's the king, he's the malik, he's the one who have control over everything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take all of us, the good and the bad, the Muslim and the kafir, and put everybody in hellfire, nobody can do anything with Allah. Because he's the king. What you can do? You could not harm Allah. You could not harm Allah. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's still fair with us. Although that nobody can harm him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbid with his own choice for himself to oppress the people or to be unfair with them. Therefore that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us according our deeds, according our intention, according what we're doing. Not Allah will ask us in the day of judgment, what's your name? My name is Mahmoud, you go to Jannah. What's your name? Is James, go to hellfire. No. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us about what we did. Okay? So this is the justice and the fairness of Allah. So if Allah himself, and he is the Malik, the King, he's doing fairness and justice, he say, do this among yourself, because it is forbidden for you to be unfair with one another. Okay? When you speak, be fair. When you witness, be fair. When you borrow money, return it back. When you buy, when you sell, in all means and way, always, with whosoever, even with your own children and with your own wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one of the Sahaba want the Prophet sallallahu to be witness, because he gave a gift to one of his children. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, did you give all your children the same? He said, no. He said, I could not be witness for something that is not fair. Okay? Do you want all your children to be fair to you? He said, yes. Do you want all your children to love you? He said, yes. Say, how come you will give one of your children, you are not giving the rest? This is not fair. I could not be witness for this. So, even with our own children, we are commanded, although we are the parents, we still have to be fair with them and give them equally and love them equally and treat them equally, not to prefer the boy over the girl. This is not Islam. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't oppress one another. Okay? Hadith 1291. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتدرون ما الغيبة؟ قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم. قال ذكرك أخاك بما يكره. قال أفرأيت إن كان في أخي ما أقول؟ قال إن كان فيه ما تقول فقد اغتبته، وإن لم يكن فيه فقد بهته. أخرجه مسلم. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. May Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of the Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه. So the hadith is authentic. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم questioned the Sahaba, do you know what is backbiting? He said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And this is the manner, the discipline of the believers in general, that when they don't have the knowledge, not to talk in the deen of Allah. You can talk about anything else, but don't talk in the deen of Allah without knowledge. Even in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Even somebody asking you, where is I-26? You shouldn't give him a wrong direction. You shouldn't be guessing. Tell him, I don't know. Because if you give him direction which is not the proper direction, he may miss his flight, be wasting gas, he miss stranger, doesn't know where to go. So in anything, alaykum salam, in anything we shouldn't be talking without knowledge. And especially in the deen of Allah, because this is worse than committing shirk. وَأَن تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you say about Allah or against Allah which you have no knowledge about it. So the adab of the Sahaba, the discipline of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they refer the knowledge to who? Allah and His Messenger. Said Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam. أَمَّا الْآنِ فلا يصح لمسلم أن يقول الله ورسوله أعلم. نقول الله أعلم. لماذا؟ لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر وقد مات فانتهى العلم بموته,
فلذلك اذا لم نعلم نقول الله اعلم ولا نقول الله ورسوله اعلم. هذا كان في حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So now when the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him, they said Allah and his messenger knows best. But today if you be questioned about something you don't know, you say Allah knows best. Don't say Allah and his messenger knows. Because the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is a human being. He doesn't know anything without Allah informing him. And by his death, now the information been sealed. No more revelation. He doesn't know what is going on today with us. So we did not say Allah and his messenger knows best after the death of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we say what Allah knows best. And this is the proper tawheed, that Allah refers the knowledge only to Allah. He's the only one know. So the sahaba said that only Allah and his messenger know. He said ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَقْرَحَ, mentioning something about your brother which he disliked, which he hated. And here doesn't mean your blood brother, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he acknowledged the brotherhood of al-Islam, and this is it, the brotherhood of al-Islam, by saying إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ, indeed the believers are what? Our brothers. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ, mentioning something about your brother, that mean your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister. Don't say something in their absence, which if they are sitting there, you are not going to say it. Don't say something in their absence, if they hear it and if they are present, they will be disturbed. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ghiba and backbiting is to mention something about your brother in his absence while he will dislike it. So now the sahaba, they want to understand, because maybe what we saying is true, maybe he is, maybe he's lazy. Say, oh, what is this man doing? Oh, this man is lazy. And although that this is his manner and his behavior that is lazy, so can I say he's lazy? He gets angry very fast, he this and that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam been questioned about this. أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ, what about if my brother, he is really what I mentioned about him? He said, إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اغْتَبْتَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ فَقَدْ دَهَتَّهُ, if what you mention in him is in him, you had backbite him. And if what you saying is not in him, you had slander him, or that you had committed evil. That mean in any of both cases you are doing something haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that your property, your blood, your honor are sacred. The blood of the Muslims, the honor of the Muslims, the property of the Muslims are sacred, and we shouldn't attack it by any means, not by our hands, neither with our tongue. Muslims have to be saved from our hands and our tongue. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, supposing that I said about my brother was true, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, if what you say about him is true, you have backbite him. And if it is not true, you have said falsehood against him. So it's better what? To be quiet. Don't talk about your brother or your sister in their absence. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whosoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, let him say something good or be quiet. Hadith 1292. وعنه قال, that mean also from the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحاسبوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله اخوانا. المسلم اخو المسلم، لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. التقوى ها هنا، التقوى ها هنا، التقوى ها هنا. ويشير الى صدره صلى الله عليه وسلم: بحسب امرئ من الشر ان يحقر اخاه المسلم، كل المسلم على المسلم حرام، دمه وماله وعرضه. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't envy one another, don't outbid one another, don't sail against the sail of your brother, don't make nagash, don't have hatred against one another, don't raise the price against the price of your Muslim brother, don't have enmity and hatred against one another, don't enter in any transaction that one Muslim brother already had start to bet on it, and be all of you slave servant of Allah, be brothers. A Muslim is a brother of the other Muslim. He's not supposed to oppress him, he's not supposed to defeat him, he's not supposed to look down on him. Indeed, piety is here. For whatever reason, the shirt that he is wearing, his color, his language, that he have one tooth long, or he don't know how to spell the word, whatever it is reason, don't try to defame or to put somebody down for any reason. And it is sufficient that he is a Muslim, that you have to give him this honor and this respect, and you have to have the relationship between you and him as what? The relationship of a brother to a brother. The taqwa, piety, and this all what we've spoken about. The brother Hassan, when he talk in Khutbat al-Jum'ah, the whole fasting is about taqwa, righteousness, piety. The Prophet ﷺ said the taqwa is here. Okay? It's not what you're wearing. It's not the way how you look. It's not your skin color. Taqwa is in the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala view it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see it. Okay? So that means we need to be concerned about cleaning our heart, purify our heart. Okay? He said it is sufficient sin for a Muslim أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. أن ينظر إليه بنظرة الإزدراء والتحقير. This is a big, great sin. He said this sufficient sin for you to commit a crime like this by looking down on a Muslim. Everything belongs to the Muslim is forbidden for the other Muslim. His blood, his money, his honor. وعن قطبة ابن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم جنبني منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء والأدواء. The hadith before this was authentic, I forgot to tell you. This hadith was reported by Qutba, may Allah be pleased with him, son of Malik. And the hadith in collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim, and the hadith is authentic, inshallah. Now, say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call in Allah by saying, O Allah, keep me away from the bad manner, bad behavior, bad characteristic, and deed, and illness. Okay? the dua of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, اللهم جنبني منكرات الأخلاق, الأخلاق المنكرة التي لا يعرفها المسلمون من الكذب, من الغش, من الخيانة, من الخديعة. كل هذا لا ينبغي أن يكون في خلق المسلم. All these things is not supposed to be a part of the Muslim manner. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to beg Allah to keep him away from all these things, bad, evil manners, bad behavior, cheating, slander, backbiting, lying, all these haram things, and also from bad deeds, evil deeds, adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, looking to things that's haram, listening to music, involved in haram things. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protection against the bad illness and disease. Page number 527, Hadith 1294 is weak. Next hadith, Hadith 1295, reported by Abu Sa'id in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, the hadith is weak. Hadith 1295, reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, the hadith is weak. And inshallah, this will be sufficient for today, and we stop here and we continue for our classes. Due to the time that close now, people want to make sunnah and recite some Quran and get ready for Isha and Qiyamul Layl. So inshallah, we stop here and we continue in other nights, and we have approximately about 4 sessions more to finish the book inshallah by the will of Allah. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And Allah knows best.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء, واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام, إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم, ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله, وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها, فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله, this a continuation for explanation and authentication for the book Bulugh al-Maram, and this a continuation for class number 10 for album number 6. And we had started last week in page number 527, and we mentioned that hadith number 1294, which reported by Ibn Abbas and in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, is da'if, is weak. Also, hadith number 1295, which reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خصلتان لا تجتمعان في مؤمن, البخل وسوء الخلق. And this also in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi, and we said that this hadith is weak. So today, inshallah, we're starting from hadith 1296. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المستبان ما قال فعلى البادئ ما لم يعتد المظلوم. أخرجه مسلم. This hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, so the hadith is authentic. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when two men argue with each other and start cursing one another, in this case, the brothers in the reception area, please be too loud for me. Get him a chair, please. Get him a chair from the door. أخي رفيق ممكن تقول للإخوة اللي قاعدين في الريسبشن اريا دول ذات زي تول اوت. So that the sin will go if two Muslims they argue together and as a result of this a calm, a heated discussion and that they start to curse one another, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that the sin will be on the person who starts cursing, okay? And as long as the second person is defending himself, so the first person will be the person who carrying the sin. And this is, shows us that cursing is not one of the behavior of the Muslims. And cursing shouldn't be something that happen among the Muslims, although we're human beings and sometimes we argue and fussing each other, but not to be cursing one another. And also the Islam shows the permissibility that a person can defending himself, okay, but not to be the person who start, okay. So it is better that if a person curse you that you ignore him, but let's assume that the person could not control his anger and he curse him back, he is not a sinner because he is defending himself, okay. And the person who committing the sin is the person who start with the cursing. وعن أبي سرمة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ضار مسلما ضاره الله ومن شاق مسلما شاق الله عليه. أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي وحسنه. And the hadith is حسن لغيره. The hadith is reported by Abu Surma and the hadith is good as supportive hadith. So it's not good by itself, but by other assistance from other hadith. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whosoever cause a harm to a Muslim will be harmed by Allah. And whosoever acts in hostile manner against a Muslim will be treated in a hostile manner by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it shows us that, as we said before, the property of the Muslims, the honor of the Muslims, the blood of the Muslims, everything that the Muslim belong to the Muslim is supposed to be honored, supposed to be respected, okay? And we shouldn't transgress the limits of Allah, neither transgress the limits of Allah with our brothers and sisters, because by taking somebody's property or cursing somebody or making things hard for your Muslim brother for no reason, you have to be ready to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we could not, you understand, dealing with Allah is something very serious. We have to be afraid from Allah and we have to understand that if we have the means to harm somebody, that Allah have all the means to harm us. So by making it difficult in a Muslim for no reason, Allah will make it difficult in you if you try to harm a Muslim for no just reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it difficult in you. And this also shows us that harming Muslims or causing them difficulty, one of the major sins. And this hadith is a warning. It's a warning for the Muslims, because if they don't live in peace with each other, stop in harming each other, causing each other difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one who dealing with them. And we could not stand fighting Allah, okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the power over everything. So by attacking your Muslim brother or harming your Muslim brother, making it difficult for your Muslim brother, now you have to be ready to deal with Allah. And who you are to stand before Allah dealing with Him in such manner. In page number 528 and hadith number 1298, وعن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله يبغض الفاحش البذيء إن الله يبغض الفاحش البذيء. That hadith reported by Abu Darda, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi. The hadith is sahih l-ghayri, that authentic as result of other narration that give it support to uplift it to the degree of authentic. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates and dislikes a person who speak bad and curse, okay? A person have to be cleansed in everything, not only cleansed in the way how we look, but the way how we talk, it have to be clean. We shouldn't be cursing, we shouldn't be talking foul language, we shouldn't be talking things. Understand that we have to understand that everything is recorded against us or for us, and we have to watch what we're saying, especially about cursing and saying bad words. Yeah. Hadith 1299, وَلَهُ, that mean also from Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, in Hadith Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِيءِ. Again, the Hadith from Abu Darda, Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, ليس المؤمن بطعان ولا لعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء. The hadith is in the collection of Imam al-Hakim Dharqutni, and the hadith is authentic inshallah. This shows us that such manner, bad language, slander people, cursing, it doesn't fit the mannerism and the behavior of a believer. A believer have to be too far from such characteristics. And sometimes also this related to the person who's stingy, okay? Or a person who speak bad words, okay? And especially when some people they joking, okay? To be talking about things, understand about private parts and things like this. This shouldn't be a part of the way how people handle conversation, even if they making jokes. And this also hadith shows us how the Muslim supposed to behave with the Muslim community, with the general body of the Muslims. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسبوا الأموات فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا إليه إلى ما قدموا. The hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi tabaraka wa ta'ala alayh, and the hadith is reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't curse the dead one, because they have sinned before them. Okay? That means there's no need to irritate, speaking bad and cursing the dead people. Okay? Because they already with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He judging them, He's dealing with them, okay? And there's no need for us to curse them because we could not change anything from what happened already. And whatever they're doing, they're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this will be a disturbance for the life people, okay? Cursing the dead people is not going to change anything. They already dead, okay? And this will cause disturbance to the relatives of these people, alaykum as-salam. So we have to understand that they are with Allah, and Allah is the one who is dealing with them. If it's good, if it's good, and if it's bad, it's bad. So leave them alone because you already dead. Also from this hadith, we see that Islam is concerned about the proper adab in the Muslim community and how they supposed to be good with each other, and they try to avoid things which bring about hatred and ill feeling, okay? Because when you curse somebody's father or somebody's aunt or somebody relatives who already dead, okay, this will irritate and disturb the people who are alive, and this will bring about hard feeling among the Muslims. So you should be concerned about your relationship with the Muslim community. وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, this hadith 1301. وعن حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة قتات. حديث لا يدخل الجنة قتات. والقتات هو الذي يمشي بين الناس بالنميمة, أي ينقل الحديث بين الناس, بين أناس وآخرين. أوكي, فلان قال عليك كده وبعدين يروح لفلان يقول له فلان قال عليك كده, ها, هذا اسمه قتات, النمام الذي يمشي بالنميمة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أن هذا الذي يعمل هذا العمل لا يدخل الجنة عقابا على ما قدم. ذات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a person who is backbiting and slander and carry tales will never enter paradise. He's not going to enter paradise. Okay? So we understand carry tales is one of the major sins. Okay? And is not beneficial for any reason. If you care for somebody, give him the advice. But don't go talk to this person and say, oh, I hear so and so talk about you. And after this you go to the other person and tell him, oh, I heard him saying this about you. And you bring about fitna, okay? Carrying tales between people and brothers and sisters, and this sister said and this brother said, okay, this is called fitna, and you carry fitna, and you be doing nothing except kindle this fire among the Muslims. This is not good. This is not Islamically, okay? Leave it alone. If you're concerned, go and give the person advice. But don't carry tales. And we heard the hadith that Brother Hassan mentioned last night, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed by two graves. And he said that those people, they are in a great punishment. Okay? And said, it's not because they did a great crime. It's something small, but the effect and the result of it is so great. He said that one of them is what? He carry tales between people. Okay, but this one word that he carry from here to here, it can bring about divorce, it can bring about fighting, it can bring about killing each other. Okay, so a Muslim always have to guard his tongue, and you have to know when to talk. Okay, and if it's something beneficial, you can talk. If it's not, you should refrain from talking. And this should be a serious warning for us to stay away from such act, because all of us are struggling to enter paradise. So if you know that such act will prevent you to enter paradise, now you need to give it up. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, so the hadith is authentic. In page number 529, hadith 1302, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كف غضبه كف الله عنه عذابه من كف غضبه كف الله عنه عذابه. That hadith reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is the collection of Imam al-Tabarani rahmatullah alayh, and the hadith is hasan li ghayrihi, that mean is good by other supportive means from other hadith. Okay, that whosoever hold back his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold back from him his punishment. Okay, that whosoever hold back his anger, that means you have the means and the ways that you can get angry and that you can exercise your anger and you can do things about it, but you try to hold it back for the pleasure of Allah, okay, not because the other person is bigger than you or stronger than you. No, you can get angry and you can do it, but you're going to hold back your anger hoping in Allah's reward. Okay, if you do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat you in a such manner, okay, that he will hold back from you his anger and his punishment. Next hadith, hadith 1303. And I'm going to skip this hadith. And but anyway, the hadith, there is some weakness in the isnad. So we leave this hadith and we go to hadith 1304. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم